Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen. Today with Pastor AB, so much more to hear, become, and do. Pay attention. God has a special word just for you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, today you will learn something. You will learn something that you can be doing. Praise the Lord. You will learn something that you would need to do. Do you understand? Because there is no way you will not get into the position that I will mention today. You're saying amen. Hear the position first. But I'm going to tell you what to do when you enter that position. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you ready now? Okay. So I titled this Fulfilling Your Dreams, bracket, Handling Rejection. Did you hear that? Fulfilling your dreams, bracket, handling rejection. You have the guy who's written jam 10 times. Rejected. Praise the Lord. Or he passed the jam, got to post jam or post UME or UTME. I have a question. Why do they keep changing these names? Is there something attached to the change? Because I knew it was jam, then UME. Now it's what? UTME. So what's the difference? Who knows? Okay, the government man.
Before there was UME and PCE. That means University Radiation, Polytechnic Radiation, and PCE. A jamb is a body, but UME is body, right? Yeah. To make join them to UTME. So both University and Polytechnic are writing it together.
All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so UTME now encompasses. So in case you didn't know, you've learned something today. Praise the Lord. Okay, so how do you handle rejection? Let's say you have been believing God for this job while you were in school. Everything was set. You've been speaking the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You've prayed about it. You've seen visions of yourself in the school. You've gotten visions from God's word. And then, or the job. And then you go there and they reject you. What do you do? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What do you do? There are people who have had these experiences. Do you know?
They
spoke the word. They did everything they know to do and are still doing, but they were rejected. So what do you do in that kind of situation? God knew the rejection was coming. Are we together?
Yes,
but maybe he expected you to do something. Maybe there's a way he expected you to live your life after that news. So what do you do? At times you're working somewhere, you think it's time for you to get a raise. And then you give yourself 2 months to spiritually prepare for that raise. And then you finally go to meet the CEO or the HR. And then you say, you know, can I get this raise? It's not so much. Maybe 10,000 naira. Are we together? You're earning 100,000 naira. You say, can I get 110,000 naira now? And then she says no. Or he says no. What do you do? How do you act? Are we together? What should be the first thing that comes to your mind? So let's learn something. Go to John 15. John 15 verse 1. You have people who have been rejected and then they stopped everything that have to do with God because they were so disappointed. Maybe before they went for that interview, they had 3 days fasting and prayer in their church and they came with their prayer request and they prayed and prayed and prayed. And they were still rejected. And then they say, you know what? I'm tired. So let's look. John 15 verse 1. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
1. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say wait for me. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm waiting. After now, 1,000 there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you there now?
Yes.
Look into your Bible. Look into your Bible. You like this one. I think you should want to know what to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, verse 1. Jesus is talking. It's in red, right? He says, I am the true vine. and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. Verse 3. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Praise the Lord. He says he is the vine, and I am a branch in that vine. Praise the Lord. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Is that true?
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So let's stop there. If you see this, you should be happy. But I'm trying to tell you that on the earth, there are people who have seen this. They've made requests. Are we together? They've asked, and it was not done. Has it happened to you before?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Has it happened to you before?
Yes.
It didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. So was God lying? Was Jesus lying? No. So let's look at this verse is very well. Let's start from verse 1. It says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Say true.
True.
Say true.
True.
It's true. Are we together?
Yes.
It's true. Then it says, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, this whole verse is talking about results. Are we together? It's not talking about being born again. It's talking about having results in life. Do you understand? That's what it's talking about. Actually, it says fruits. Fruits means what? Results. It's talking about having results in life. That thing you want, that job you want, getting it is a result. Do you understand? It's a result of all the years you went to school. When you eat and you're growing, it's a result of all the food that you have eaten. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Someone could binge on chocolate, sweets, ice cream, pizza, chicken and chips, and start complaining that the person's cloth is shrinking. So I don't know how they make these clothes nowadays. You wash it and then it reduces. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The person is growing big as a result of what the person is eating. At times you meet some folks and they tell you, I don't eat much. I just don't know. My own is hereditary. Have you seen people who say that? Have you seen people who say that? I have. You say, I don't eat much. I just grow big. It's not true. It's not true. You must be eating something. You might not be eating much, but something you're eating has a lot of, you know, fat in it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So results. Result means when you do something, you expect an outcome. If you get it, that means you have results. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, look at this. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He taketh away. Ah, if you hear this, you should be very concerned. It means that every branch that does not have results, God does what? Takes it away. To where? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He takes it away. To where? Where is he taking them to? Funny enough, this word, taketh away, is from the Greek airo. That word actually means lifts up, not taketh away. You have to go to, you know, you have synonyms. Do you understand? Synonyms, synonyms, synonyms. Before you get to taketh away. The original rendering is what? Lifts up. So you have some translations who says, let's look at this. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He lifts them up. He props them so that they can produce fruit. Do you understand? He doesn't discard them. He's your helper. So if you're not producing results, he will prop you up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, for we know not how we should pray as we ought. It says, but the Spirit props us up. He helps our limitation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we together? So that's what he's talking about here. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifts them up. He props them up. I know that there are some shrubs, when they start growing and probably creeping, you have to, you know, support them. Do you understand? In the nursery, they need that support. So he's saying, any of God's children that is not producing results, the Father supports you. Praise the Lord. He props you up. There's something you need to know, so he gives it to you. Do you understand? The information comes to your spirit. You hear the word, but it doesn't take you away. It doesn't condemn you. Praise the Lord. Else, we should question the kind of God he is. Because he's the God of miracles. Are we together? So if you're not producing results and then he throws you away, can't he do a miracle again? He can. Are you in this place? All right, let's finish verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? Purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So any of his children that is producing results, he prunes them. Are we together? He prunes them. That means they go through more stricter training. If you were praying for some few minutes and speaking the word for some few minutes and results, you start producing results, you start thinking, I can go an hour. Has that happened to you before? Maybe you prayed consistently 30 minutes every day. Every day. Then the next day, you think, you know, I can make it 1 hour. That's the Father inspiring you to do more. Are we together? So you can have more fruit. Are you in this place? So for those that are not producing results, he helps them. For those that are producing results, it can always be better. That is God's vision for your life. He thinks you can always be better. Are we together? What you're doing now that is producing results, God thinks it can increase. It can increase, it can increase, it can increase, and it's true. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That's true. When you cut the branch off, it will not produce fruits. It needs to be attached to the vine. He says, abide in me. Okay, so where is Jesus that I should enter inside of him and remain in him? Where is Jesus? He's in heaven. Who is Jesus? The word of God. So when he says, abide in me, he's saying, abide in the word of God. Look at it. He says, and I in you. He's saying, let the word of God abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5, don't get tired. We're getting to the main stuff. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Okay, let me stop there. He says, when you're producing fruit, are you in this place? The Father prunes you, so you produce more fruits. And then when you abide in him, and his words abide in you, you produce much fruits. Much fruits is plentier than more fruits. So his focus, he's really trying to tell you that what you should focus your life on is abiding in him and he in you. Let's finish this. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Someone said, you see now, if you don't remain in him, he will throw you out as a branch. You should listen to English. This is a hall. Are we together? I'm inside the hall. While I'm inside the hall, anything can happen. Do you understand? When I leave the hall, can they kick me out? I'm already outside. Do you understand? If I'm inside, they can kick me out. So I might be abiding inside and someone says, get out. And then I go out. But if I'm already outside, that means I'm not abiding inside. Nobody can kick me out. I'm already out. I kicked myself out. Do you understand? So look at verse 6. He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. I'm trying to tell you, if you don't abide in me, you're already outside. And he's withered. If you go outside him, you'll be withered, frustrated, weary. Praise the Lord. I remember a dear pastor said, the day he got born again, he was tired. He just went to that meeting and he was tired. He had put put money somewhere, it did not work. He was tired of life. And the pastor said, Jesus said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Praise the Lord. And he said he had such a huge burden. And the preacher said, if you come to Jesus, he will take those burdens. And then he came and he got born again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So here he's saying, if you don't abide in him, you'll be withered, dry, unproductive. You start getting slim, self. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's finish this. It says, and men gather them. People will start playing games with your life. Are you seeing it? They gather them. They carry you wherever they want. You have no purpose in life anymore. No direction. That party is happening, you're going there. That one is happening, you're going there. That person will help you, you're going there. After all the movement, nothing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nothing. Look at it. It says, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. So this is not God casting anybody out. It is when the guy has left that people start playing with his life. And they are what? Burnt. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But the story doesn't stop there. Verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Did you see that? He didn't say you shall ask what God wills. Did you notice? He says, what you want. It's now left to you. The question of what does God want is no longer there. What you want. He said, you shall ask what you will. And God will think about it. Is that what he says? Come on, talk to me. Is that what he says? You shall ask what you will. And maybe it shall be done unto you. Is that what he says? He says, for sure, when you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I said, fulfilling your dreams. What you will is your dream, isn't it? He says, when you ask, it shall be done. The word done there is gotten from the Greek ginomai. Ginomai means fabricated, customized. This is what it means. It means what you want, that dream you have, if it has never been done before, he says, you would ask what you will and God will do what? Fabricate it. Let's say you want a job in that company and truly no vacancies. God can what? Fabricate one. Customize just for you. Just to fit your skill set. Are we together? Someone says, I'm a cleaner. How do I work in Mobi? They need a head cleaner. God can create that position. But he says, if you abide in me, that is his words, and my words abide in you, nothing can stop your dream. Nothing. Praise the Lord. So this verse 7 is the main thing. Do you understand? That's where we should focus. So let's look at this. Are you with me? We are going to look at some scriptures now. Verse 7. He says, if you abide in me, that means if you abide in his words. This is what it means. It means don't go outside of God's words. Do you understand? It's like someone tells you they are shooting outside, but you're in your house. So your father says, don't go outside. Because if you go outside, you could be hit by a stray bullet. Are we together? Now, God is saying that dream that you want to fulfill, remain in my words. Don't go outside. If you go outside, it will not happen. That's what he's telling you. So remain in his words. Remain in the word. Now, what does that mean? Number one, what God has not given you, don't take it. Are we together? What God has not said is yours. Don't claim it. James 1 verse 17. You know, I like when the word of God tells me what I can do or what I should not do in order to fulfill the dreams that I have. So I'm not working. I know, oh, if something happens, what did I not do? Verse 17. Are you there? If you're not there, say, wait for me. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Jesus, are you there? You didn't say wait for me. 1:5. All right. Verse 17. I'll read it. He says, every good gift. James, okay, let me wait for you. James 1, verse 17. Are you there? You have arrived. All right. Verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from what? Above. See what God is telling you. Anything that is not good and perfect is not from me. That's what he's saying. He's saying anything that you looked at, you say this thing is not good. That you looked at, you say this thing is not perfect. He says it's not from me. Sickness is not good. Don't claim it. Are we together? I'm telling you important stuff. Don't claim it. Don't say, I have headache, so I cannot go out. Meanwhile, that day is where you should have gone out. So that one part of the puzzle to fulfilling your dreams, you would have accomplished. But I have headache. Why? Because it's popular. Everybody says, I have headache. I have. So you have. It's your own. Do you have tenera? Yes. Do you have headache? Yes. You have. Someone says, but if my head is paining me, should I not say again? You can feel. Feelings come and go. What you have will not go until someone takes it from you. And that person is a thief. And God is not a thief. So he cannot take what you have. Someone says, is it not just words? It's not just words. The word of God is God. If there's a difference, you know, truth cannot be two. Only one truth. Once there's a difference in truth, it's a lie. Do you understand? So number one, in abiding in his words, what he has not given you, don't take it. Don't claim it. Praise the Lord. I'm sick. Who gave you? It's not God. Don't claim it. That sickness would pass. I keep remembering, I've told you guys before, how that when I was serving, I felt really terrible. My head was shaking. I told you guys now. You know, it was like my brain was moving inside my head. You move like this, the brain move. I really believe my brain was shaking. The thing that was holding it to my skull has caught. And it was painful. But I already knew God's word. So I was in the room, I keep my head on the tile. Then I'll bring it back up. I thought, something has to give way. Either me or this pain. And I'm bigger than the pain. And I'm here today. Praise the Lord. So what God has learned it. Listen, let me tell you something. God says he wishes above all things that you prosper. That's the person you should stay with. So what he has not given you, don't take it. Because whatever you take that is not given you will not make you prosper. So at times, you know, because, listen, growing up, these things are in the air. This is the kind of language you learn. Do you understand? This kind of language you learn. So it sounds nice. But I told you guys once how that all the stories we heard of how powerful the devil was, he was the one who put the message out to make himself look powerful. Do you remember? All the stories, they said people went into that evil forest and they died. How do you know it was Juju that killed them? If they all died and nobody came out to tell you, how do you know? How? Do you understand? Lions could have eaten them. Antelope could have stepped on them. How do you know it was a demon that killed them? Since nobody came out to tell you, the devil saw they had died. He went and started spreading with his Juju men. It's me, it's demon. Until people became afraid of that evil forest, then a white man came and burnt everything. The Juju did not kill them. What killed them? Malaria, mosquito. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, here, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, abide in the word, remain in the word. What God has not given you, don't claim, don't accept. What God has not told you, I'm moving beyond what I want to say, but what God has not told you, don't accept. Oh, you have to believe that. What he has not told you concerning your life, it doesn't matter who is telling you, don't accept. Next one. Where God says you should not go, don't go. Remain in the word. Where the word has not said you should go, don't go. Stay where God's word has placed you. Number one, I said, what God has not given you, don't take. Number two, where he says you should not go, don't go. Psalm 1. Don't be found where he says you should not be found. Psalm 1. Okay, so I was going to say, I remember what I was going to say. I was going to say that at times we learn this language and it is something you learn. For example, someone says, I'm afraid it's about to rain. That sounds like nice English, what they say in films. Do you understand? Once you say that, I'm afraid it's about to rain, you sound really intelligent. You're afraid. It's about to rain. What are you doing? Putting fear inside of you. Someone says, no, but I'm not really afraid. Why are you not saying it? So you're lying. You're lying. So there are some of these things that are part of English. But then you learn to use the word of God to judge. What should I say? What should I not say? Are we together? So it says, I'm sick and tired of you coming late. You're sick and tired of them coming late. Because they came late, you are sick and tired. Sickness was going. It just passed your office. It yet, I'm sick and tired. Ah. It came back. Someone is calling my name. Someone says, no. I don't mean like I'm sick and tired. That means you're lying. You must be sick and tired to be saying it. So these things, English, but then you judge with the word, what should I say? What should I not say? Are we together? Yeah. So what God has not given you, don't take it. If you're not sick and tired, you're not sick and tired. So I'm very strong, you came late. It's me and you today. I will give it to you. That is better. That is true. Now I'm sick and tired. Say, not me. Psalm 1, are you there? Verse 1. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's telling you how to walk, how to stand, how to sit, who to walk with, who to stand with, who to sit with. Let's look at this. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That thing you're doing, who advised you? Your friend, is he born again? No. Did he use the word? No. But you are doing it. You want to fulfill your dream? You start walking that way, you will not. Are we together? He says also, nor standeth in the way of sin. I say, where God has said you should not go, don't go. Don't stand with sinners. Are we together? Shoulder to shoulder. Don't. When they're making decisions, don't stand with their decision. Are we together? Don't be found there. Then the last one, the most important one, which you can relate to it. It says, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Have you seen some people? They just sit down and they start insulting pastors. When they don't have anything to talk about again, they're not playing ball this season. It has ended. There's no wrestling match. It has ended. They sit down, they meet, then they start insulting pastors. Have you seen people like that? Come on, you would have. Nothing provoked them. They just started. And then they start scorning miracles. They start scorning the things of God. They say, this heaven, church is in our mind. Don't mind all these people. God says, don't be found with them. Are we together? Don't be found. Don't go and sit down where they are. If you're sitting down, when I was in school, and I'm not changed. When I was trying to tell my friends and some other people that if I'm sitting down and you come and you bring gist I don't want, I will get up and go. You'll still be sitting down. If I'm sitting down and two of my friends come and they have one gist that is ungodly, I will get up and go. You cannot tie my leg. Are we together? I remember when I was staying with someone, there was this clip. They called the guy Bros J. Is that nonsense? Did you ever see that nonsense? You didn't see it. Making mockery of our Lord and Savior. Lady that I came to her, she's a Christian. So I entered the room. She said, see this. I already knew what it was. Right? Because she had been playing it in the parlor. See it? I said, no. She brought it to my eyes. She played, I closed my ears. She started dragging my hand. So you must see it. Why? Because obviously now she felt bad. Do you understand? Because someone is making it obvious that this thing might not be good. I can't watch something that is mocking Jesus. Even as a joke, it is wrong. Do you know who he is? It is unbelievers that do that nonsense, not us. What is entertainment? Is your life that boring? That you mock the one that saved you because it is comedy? Never. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Never. It's not light mood. Someone says, but he has not killed us. He has not killed you means you should not have sense. No. Close my eyes. Close my ears. Until she left. She got tired. And I did not watch it. You can't force me to do what I don't want to do. Are we together?
Yes,
you can be chasing me with the phone. I will be running. Somebody will get tired. It will be me. Praise the Lord. He says, don't sit with the scornful. Let's move it further. Those that don't have purpose, you have a purpose for your life. You have dreams you want to fulfill. But every evening, they will see you sitting down with people that are not going anywhere. You're going outside the word. It says, abide in the word, and the word abide in you, so that whatever you ask, you would get it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No, maybe you have, maybe in the village, people who are serving idols. And they are all the sons of the family, and you go and stand with them. They are making a decision that is not in the word of God. It's contrary to the word of God, but you're standing with them because you're a son. He says, don't stand with sinners. Are we together? He said, they will not respect me. I'm going to stand with the sons of the kingdom. What kingdom? You are the light of the world. So never be found in the wrong company. Are we together? Women Association, you know the meat that they bring. Part of it, they use it for juju, but it's Women Association of your village. So you go, you dance, you buy the material too, everything. But you know what it's about. And you want to fulfill your dream. Which dream? There are some places you should not be found. Are we together? Some places people should not even have the mind to invite you to. They look at you. You want to come to a concert. Christian, we'll be worshiping. They can't. Destiny destroyers, they look at you, they move like this. Destiny wasters, they are coming to your door, they move. There are people like that. Do you know? Let me tell you something. There are people that they've made a mess of their life. Now they are on a mission. When they made a mess of their life, they had no purpose. Now they have a purpose. To destroy every other person's life. No, I saw on Facebook a lady who said she had AIDS and she's on a mission to give at least 1 million men AIDS before she dies. Someone says it's not true. On a mission. But when you've already set your standard, that kind of person cannot come near you. Will even be avoiding you because you can change them. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
But he says there are some places you should not be found. They should not see you there. They are gossiping about your neighbors. You should not be found. There are people that are chief gossipers. Anytime they are gossiping, they are there. They are in the center. Every other person is around them. They are the ones saying what is happening. Don't be found there. He says, don't sit with the scornful. Don't stand with those that sin. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't be found there. They bring gist to your house. It's gossip. You say, no, no. Oh, yeah, come and be going. Come and be going. Say, are you driving me from here? I say, yes. Why? Because if you follow that person, you will not fulfill your dream. That's what the Bible is telling you. Are we together? And your dream is bigger than any friendship.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
When you get born again, and the word of God starts influencing your life, you might still have friends who are not serious with the Lord. The best you can do is to introduce them to seriousness. If they refuse, God says, leave them alone. You know why? Because they can influence you. They can. So leave them alone. So I said, number one, don't take what God has not given you. Number two, don't go where God has not sent you. Number three, don't say what God has not said you should say. That's simple, isn't it? What God has not given you permission, this is abiding in the word. You're inside this place called the word. And what the word of God has not said you should say, you will not say. The Bible says, he has said, so that we may boldly say. He said, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That means you should not say, I'm finished. Because you cannot be finished. The Lord is your helper. That is what you should say. Are we together? Even as a joke. Don't say, I'm finished. These things. This is why you have a lot of people who have ambitions in life, goals in life, and they are Christians, and it is not working. Because of things like this that they think is little, not little foxes that ruin the vine. It's a little. What God has not said, you should say, don't say. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means you have help. Are we together? Never say it's man, no man. I don't know anybody, so I cannot enter. You know somebody. That is what God says you should say. Someone says, this is my dream. It's very big. It's only people that have connection that it can work for. And me, I don't have connection. You will not fulfill the dream, number one. Number two, you are saying what God says you should not say. What connection? It is the God that created Connect that is working with you, and you say you don't have connection. Not possible. Listen, let me tell you something. When you learn, I'm moving beyond my message, but listen, when you say what God says you should say, maybe naturally you don't have connection. He says you would ask what you want, and it will be what? Fabricated for you. That connection you don't have, it will come into place. Connection doesn't mean you should know the person from when you were born. You can go to the office and you make connection immediately. Are we together? Has it happened to some of you before? So what is the connection you're talking about? You're entering the office when the MD is entering and you know him. That is it. You're already connected. Do you understand? That's the connection you need. But when you go around saying, man, no man, I don't know anybody, you're outside the word of God. Praise the Lord. If you abide in my word, and my word abide in you. So we are looking at abiding in the word. Then we'll learn his word abiding in you. Let me tell you, I was talking about just recently now. Don't sit with the scornful. And something came to my mind. At times you sit with people that are ungodly and you make money. But that money will not last. Are we together? It will not last. That's why you have people who do fraud. They keep doing fraud. They keep on. Why? Because the money would not last. In fact, that money would enter your house and destroy all the monies you have. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Zechariah that the angel was saying, are we together? You can read it. That there was a scroll that says, thou shalt not steal. That scroll enters into the house of thieves. It's a spiritual scroll. You can't see it. Are we together? But once a man steals, it enters into his house and starts destroying the walls. You know what that means? It means all the property he has begins to spoil. But he will not notice because he has money to buy a new one. Do you understand? The things he has begins to spoil until that car he bought without, he has to sell it. That is the purpose of that scroll in his house, to ensure that everything he got, everything he has to sell it. He might sell it a Rolls Royce. He sells and buys Benz. He still has Benz. He will sell it and buy Toyota. He has Toyota. He will sell it and buy Golf. He has Golf. He will sell it and buy wheelbarrow. He has something he can push. He will sell it and buy shoe, slippers, bedroom slippers. But that is the reason. So it might take long. Are we together? But that thing that he has stolen would not last. So maybe he says, when I steal the money, I can fulfill my dream. He will not fulfill his dream. Do you understand it? He will not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Last one before we go into part B. Are you in this place? What God has not said you should think about, don't think about. Someone says, even my thoughts, yes. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What God has not permitted you to think about, don't think about. Philippians 4 verse 8. If you're here, say, I'm here. Yeah. All right, Philippians 4 verse 8. You have to control your thoughts. There are three types of thoughts you can have. Are we together? Philippians. Philippians is after Ephesians. Before Colossians. Philippians 4, verse 8. Are you there? Are we waiting for anybody?
No.
Oh, great. All right. 4 verse 8. Listen. There are types of thoughts you can have. Are you with me?
Yes,
Listen to this one. It's very important. Listen. All right? Philippians 4 verse 8. Have you seen it? Nemeka, are you there now? 4 verse 8. There are thoughts that you are the one thinking. Are we together?
Yes.
I want everybody's attention. Leave 4 verse 8. We'll go to it. There are thoughts. You're the one thinking it. You're the one who closed your eyes and you began to think it. Are we together? There are thoughts. It is the devil that is bringing it to you. He's the one talking to you. The Bible says, Jesus, and he talks to a lot of people, doesn't have work. His only job is to destroy. Are we together? Jesus was being tempted of Satan. All right? How do you think Satan appeared to him? You think Satan came like Satan, looking like the devil with horn? If you're in your room and Satan appears, let's say you're fasting, and Satan appears and said, eat egg, will you eat the egg? Will it be a temptation? If you wanted to eat egg before, once the demon appears and says, eat egg, you will not eat that egg forever. Are we together? No, the people that say they dreamt and they ate egg, and that's where they stopped eating egg. That one was even dream. It's not like devil appeared. So how did Satan tempt Jesus? The same way he talks to everybody. True thoughts. And he talks in the first person most times. I told you guys before, but it bears repeating. Listen. If you do something wrong, are we together? Okay. At times you might not even think about it. Normally you shouldn't. But once you do something wrong, the devil comes and he talks in the first person. Come. Just stand. Let's say he did something wrong. Are you looking at this young man? Okay. Righteousness cannot do wrong things. But let's say he did something wrong. All right? The devil would come. Normally, if you are on your own and then if something starts telling you, you have done something wrong, you have failed, you know it's someone that is talking to you. Are we together? So either you will cry because you think it's all right, or you say, get out of here. Or you go and say, I'm hearing voices. Do you understand? Because the thing is saying, you have done something wrong. That's not how the devil works. If you did something wrong, he will come and stand by you and say, I've done it. I've done it again. Now I will die. My own has finished. This world is not my own. He will talk in the first person. Now when you're listening to that, you can easily what? Accept it. And say, it's true. My own has finished. Do you understand? So there are thoughts the devil brings to you in the first person. I've seen, you can have your seat. Times that people who have this feeling, they will die. They feel like they will die. And if you have people like that, there's a spirit following them. Do you understand? Anytime they sit down, I will die. That's what the spirit is telling them, I will die. Say, hey. Talks in the first person. There are some thoughts that are left in the environment. Do you understand? Because there are times someone can think so deeply and leave a thought in the atmosphere. Oh, it's true. So you enter the place and you pick up the thoughts. And you start thinking that thing. Then you wonder, how did that even come to my mind? Do you understand? So there are thoughts like that. And that's why you should not accept every thought. Don't say, I can't control my mind. You can. You can control what you think about. Are we together? Because you're thinking the wrong thoughts, that's what the problem is. The problem is when you accept that thought and continue with it. So this is what God is telling us, Philippians 4 verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Aha. That thing you're thinking about, is it true? Someone lied against you. Are we in this place? Someone lied to your sister about you. You keep thinking about it, but you know it's not true. God says, don't think about it. If it's not true, there's nothing to think about. Are we together? Are you in this place? Someone you really respected said you will fail. Is it true? No. Don't think about it. Not that. Not just all. That's not all. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. The way he got the money, he's not honest, but you keep thinking about it, that there's a way you can do it though. He says, don't think about it. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are what? Pure. Don't think about filthy things. want. He says, whatsoever things are lovely. Because some people see lovely, they think it's only feminine. No. Whatsoever things are of good report. That means the things that you think about, you'll be like, wow, this is so inspiring. God says, focus there. Let me tell you something. God cannot negate himself. If it's true that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, then truly this is what you should be thinking about. Because if you think about something that is not of good report, it's only bad report that will be happening in your life. Are you seeing it? It says, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says what? Think on these things. He says, think about things that when you think about, you give praise to God. Do you understand? Like that lady has been looking for a child since and she finally got it. That is something you can think about. Are we together? Not the one she had, only one child and the child died. Now you, it's not even your own child. You keep thinking. If you must think, pray. End of story. Do you understand? But it says, mind what you think about. But I like the first, it says, whatsoever things are true. There are so many people that think about things that are not true. They know it's not true. Are we together? They know it's a lie. But that's what they're thinking about. They keep thinking about it. Someone says you are ugly. You know it's not true, but you keep thinking about it. Say fat nose. You know your nose is not fat, but you keep looking at it now. God says, don't think about it. These things have the potential to limit your goals in life. Are we together? Now, when you have settled this place, which is easy, he says, if you abide in my word, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Hallelujah. I will not go to this next part till I'm sure you're all listening to me. Because this is important. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm paying attention.
I'm paying attention.
Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Pay attention.
We are almost closing.
So
this is the time to shake the sleep off and listen to what pastor wants to say. Say, tell your neighbor, not confession. Except you are the one sleeping. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, so let's go to John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. So now all these things I've been telling you, do you understand? Did you notice? I started with saying, if you are rejected, how should you behave? But everything I've told you so far is as though you should not be rejected. Do you understand? So that is abiding in the word. So what if you are rejected? How should you behave? John 15, verse 7. Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be what? Done unto you. He says, if my words abide in you, that means it is possible for his words to be replaced with something else. Are you with me? This is so important. It is possible that even when you have heard the word of God, someone will say something to you, and that thing they said would replace the word of God in your mind. So how does the word abide in you? You keep thinking about the word. Are we together? You focus on the word. Practical example. If you went to apply something somewhere, or you went, you needed something. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you needed something somewhere, you went to apply for a job position, and they said you were not chosen. When you hear that, naturally, you keep thinking about it. Are we together? You think about it till you get home. At times you feel sad, especially if you have been praying and confessing. Are we together? That word they said, the way they said it, the way the man was when he said it, he didn't even care about the way you were looking at him, begging him with your eyes. He just said it. You keep thinking about it. You keep thinking about it, and then you start planning that it's over. God said, Jesus said, if my words abide in you, you would ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Oh, so even if they said you were rejected, you can ask to be accepted. Do you understand? And it shall be done unto you. But it says, if my words abide in you, that means something. That means when the guy says you are rejected, instead of thinking about what he has said, focus about what God's word has said about you. As you're leaving the office to your house, you can remind yourself, I'm God's choice. I'm a chosen generation. I'm accepted in the beloved. Are we together? That is what you should fill your mind with. Don't let that rejection replace God's word in your life. He says, when you have thought only that in the bus, you're going home. You can't believe it, but you keep reminding yourself, I'm a chosen generation. I'm God's choice. I'm the first and the best. You keep reminding yourself, when you get back home, he says, in that position, ask what you will. Do you want them to call you back? He says, ask, and it will what? Done unto you. But it matters what you're thinking about when you're asking. Are you seeing it? It matters. It matters. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They said you were not good enough for the position. You heard it when the receptionist said it, or you read the letter in the building and you're going back, you're thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. That thing is replacing what God has said about you. He says, when you're leaving the office, remember, he says in James 1 verse 18, he says, you are the first fruits of his creatures. The first and what? The best. So what should you think about after they rejected you from that office to your house where you know you're going to go and pray? What should you think about to remind yourself? I'm the first and the best. Anytime the thought comes, you're not good enough, you take it out. Are you seeing it? You remove it. I'm the first and the best. I'm the first and the best. Until you get back home in that position of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen, the word of God is God. And God only responds to his word. Not to crying. We said it last Sunday. Not to crying, not to tears. He only responds to his word. If they said you were not good enough and you went back home and you started crying, he's not going to respond to that. That is not powerful enough to get God's attention. His word is him, so he gets his attention. Are we together? But instead of crying, if when they said that, you left the office saying, I'm the first and the best. I'm the first fruit of his creatures. What are you doing? You're bringing up his word. Are we together? You're letting his word remain inside of you. That thing they said wants to take it out, but you're not going to allow it. You keep thinking about the word. I'm the first and the best. I'm the first. And then you go back home. With that word, rooted in that word, he said, Heavenly Father, there is nothing you cannot do.
Yes.
Listen, now you're saying it from a position of faith. You're not trying to blackmail God with tears. You say, am I not serving you? Am I not serving you? No, he knows you're serving him. But bring the word. Jesus said, and this is what he's trying to say. For him to say, if my word abide in you, meaning that that is a situation where something wants to take it out. Do you understand? He said, in the midst of that rejection, you can guess what you want. But instead of focusing on the rejection, train yourself in the bus. You say it because at times, because you've heard what they said, you keep thinking about it. So you want your words to cover what they've said. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You keep, someone is in school. You're here. Maybe in your home, in school, your friend checked result. They say, everybody failed. It's not always for everybody to fail. Someone must pass. Even if everybody failed, lecturer must pass someone. Else, the result might not be accepted. Because the testimony that is a bad lecturer. Do you understand? But the person failed. So, in order to make the person feel good, say, everybody failed. Everybody. Say, me. Everybody failed. You say, are you sure? I say, everybody failed. Cut the call. Now you're at home. You can't think of anything else. Everybody failed. So I failed. Everybody failed. So I failed. Then you come to church. Lord, please let me pass. It will not happen. Because something came and kicked off the word of God that you had in your spirit. Instead of thinking of success, you started thinking of failure. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have taken that thought. God cannot take it from you. Are we together? Everybody failed. My name is not everybody. Are we together? My name is not everybody. All things are working. That's when you start reminding yourself of the word. Are we together? Anytime the thought comes, everybody, all things are working together for my good. He says, let the word of God abide in you. Are we together? Put it there. Let the word abide in you. after you've done that for one, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, then you make your request. I mean, by the time you're saying all things are working together for my good, I mean, the Spirit of God will be there thinking, so what do you want us to do? Do you understand? How do you want us to do it? He says, whatever you want, it shall be what? Done unto you. Your name is not on that list. They checked the list. Your name is not there. They called you. Your name is not there. What's your name? Bingbe. Bingbe what? Omotosho. All right? Your name is not there. Say, check it. Say, we have checked. It's not there. And then you start thinking, my name is not there. Ah, my name is not there. But he says the word done unto you is ginomai. It can be what? Fabricated. If your name is not on the list, they need just 30 students. But instead, you think on the word of God, I'm the first and the best. I'm chosen. Praise the Lord. You think that way. You say, someone says, but why don't you think about studying another course? You say, no, this is the one I want to study. And so you continue with the word of God. By the time you make that request, they wanted 30, they increased to 35. Are we together? They wanted 30, they might even increase to just 31. But your name will be there. He says, in that position of faith. So this is the position of a victor. Do you understand? This is God. Jesus is saying, yes. People will tell you no. They will reject you. But don't think of their rejection, because it's not true. God has chosen you. And in his choice, you are everybody's choice. Are we together? He has chosen you. So instead of focusing on the rejection, focus on the fact that you have been chosen. In that position of faith, make your requests. If they say the entry has closed, it will be opened. Are we together? It would. It says, let his words abide in you. Let it abide in you. At times, some people, they are rejected and they start giving excuses why they should have rejected them. Have you seen people like that? They did not choose you. You say, oh, because I did not do this. You start blaming yourself. Then that means you're not an honest person. If you knew you did not do that, why were you expecting them to choose you? You should not even ask. When the list come, they didn't choose me, Abi. Yes, okay. Not that they didn't choose you. You say, oh, and I noticed I wrote with black pen instead of blue. If it was me, I'll say, you made me waste time looking for your name. And you knew. You know, I remember this fight. Okay, they just fought recently. But I remember this boxing match between two people. I think Manny Pacquiao and what's the other guy's name? You're too much. All right. So it was a very big fight. And Mr. Floyd won, right? He won the fight. Okay. After some weeks, the other guy now came and said he was taking treatment. That's why he did not. And they sued him. His fans sued him. You know why? He said, if you were taking treatment, why didn't you tell us? So, because some people bet, do you understand? They gambled on the fight. You are taking treatment. You didn't see anything. We now put our money that you will win. You now lose. You now come and say you lost because you're taking treatment. They sued him. Because he wasted their time and their money. And so, if you already know, if you're going to make an excuse for failing, you failed because you say the man is wicked, nobody fails. You're already making an excuse. Why were you expecting to pass? You should not, don't even write the exam. Day of the exam, sleep. Why? Because the man is wicked, nobody passes his course. Use that time to read another thing. But you're an intelligent person. If you're going to write that course, you're expecting to pass. If they say everybody failed, you're God's first and best. You're God's choice. That is what you focus on. Focus on, I have seen. When a lot of people failed and the lecturers did something and then everybody passed. I've seen cases like that. Maybe it was 48, increased it to 56. I've seen cases like that. And those cases did not happen by God telling you it's only once in a while. No, he was telling you that if it can happen to them, it can happen to you. But this is good part about that word, ginomai. It means even if it has never happened before, God can make you the first person it will happen to. But he says, when you're faced with rejection, don't focus on what you have heard. Let his words abide in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone says you have cancer. It might be true. Do you understand? The person might not say to punish you. The person is concerned. You have cancer. That is their word. God says you are healed. Are we together? You live in health. That is his words. Which one will abide in you? His words. Are you seeing it? His words. Someone says, based on this family history, this is how far you can go. Jesus said, you're born of the Spirit. You're born of the wind. There is no limitation for the wind. Yes. Which word would you allow to remain in you? His words. So maybe you're in that family that they say you cannot listen. Even if you get admission to school, you cannot afford it. Go and learn something else. That is their word. Jesus said you cannot be limited. Knowing that, then he says, what do you want us to do? He says, ask what you want. Are we together? How do you want? You want scholarship, we'll give it to you. You want free money, we'll give it to you. You want free school, we'll give it to you. But he says, ask what you want, and it shall be what? Done unto you. But remember, while you're asking, don't think about what they are saying. Think about what he has said. Are we together? So it's not every rejection, you go and start crying, it's over, it's done for. Why? Why would you think that? Something can still happen. Are we together? There can be a change. Something can still happen. That is the time to test. Who would you let win in your life? The HOD or God? Who is stronger? God. Who should you think about? Which person's word should you think about? God. And so you focus on his words. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a story before we close. I think I've shared it before. My first job after NYSC, I traveled to come and do an interview. I think I've told you guys before. Yes. And they said you had to learn how to use AutoCAD. And they didn't teach us anything like that in school. True. It's not like they thought I did not learn. They didn't teach us. So I had to learn. So immediately I came to Lagos, I went to meet someone who was in architecture, you understand? And so he showed me some things I could do. So the next day was the interview, so I went the next day. So they gave me, the person who was, the guy, the owner of the company was not around, but the person working with him gave me the laptop and they gave me paper. They said I should design a building and put the electrical stuff in the building. But there's a way they put it, you understand, that you will not know. I don't know why they didn't use proper English. So I sat down. They said there are two parts, I will design and then there's the interview. Now, of course, then I was already a Christian. I'm full of grace. There's no way I will talk to you in an interview and I want that job you not give me. Do you understand? There's, as I sit down, grace of God will just be confusing you. So they gave me the paper. I sat there for 1 hour. Draw square, delete it. When the man came, he said, continue. You can only continue something you have started. So I sat down. I did. I told him, sir, please, let's move to the next one. Because I know if they kept me there till tomorrow, I'll not do anything. So I sat down there. He asked, we talked. He said, all right, you can go. I knew I had gotten the job. You understand? When I went, he called me. I said, no, I should come. He wants to show me to one of his friends. You know, that was sure sign I had gotten the job. I remember I was talking with PK then, you know, in the keke going. That was, if you want to show me to one of your friends, I've gotten the job. So I went there. The other guy asked me other random questions that had not to do with the course. You know, do I have any business plan? I've gotten the job. I went back home, went somewhere. The next, he sent me the employment offer letter. Do you understand? Do you know it's this year? I looked at that letter again. I noticed that they now, okay, let me not tell you what I noticed, because that was the issue. So they sent me the employment letter. So I was so happy. It was not big money, but I've gotten a job. Do you understand? So I was really happy. So I told people that I've gotten the job. They were happy for me too. You know, told my parents, they were happy for me. So the next Monday, I went to the office and I waited for the man. And then I called him and he said, that I'm around. I said, yes. He said he thought I didn't want the job. He had given it to someone else. Hi, what happened? In the letter, which I finally saw this year, because I didn't go back to that letter. I saw it this year. It says, submit and fill in 3 days. I didn't see that part. If you accept the job, do you understand? submit and feel, or feel and submit in 3 days. I didn't see it. Me, I was saying, well, I've gotten the job. 3 days passed. I didn't send anything. I didn't know anything. And now he had employed someone. How will I start telling people I've not gotten the job? So I will never forget. I went downstairs, walking down. I just immediately thought something. I thought that, okay, that means something bigger and better is coming. I didn't call anybody. I just walked some few feet out of the building. He called me and said, go back. Don't worry. Go back. I'll employ two of you. And that's how I got that job. Stayed for some few weeks and left because the money was small. But the point is, I'll never forget what I thought going. I'm still seeing the road as I'm walking. It was this Acme, this building, all right? I think Acme is the name of the building in Ogba. So I was just walking, and I thought, that means something big is coming. Few feet, he calls and says, go back. And employed the two of us. The other guy was still there when I left them with their salary. Praise the Lord. But the point is, it matters how you think if you have been rejected. Are we together? It matters. I could have called people. Did you ever know this story until I told you? But it was among the first people I told when I got the job. So I could have called and said, please don't go and tell anybody I've gotten a job. Oh, I don't get it. And I would not have gotten it. Are we together? Yes, I would not have. You cannot now call and say, I've not gotten it. Now expect something to happen. You're not going to say, actually, it's a mistake. I've gotten it. I would not have gotten it. But what you think about during rejection would influence what you would get. Now, Jesus takes it even further. You know, then I didn't even know the scripture. If I had known it, I would have sat down there, sat down outside, just waiting. Do you understand? But I didn't know it. But now I do. And now you do. If they reject you, stop thinking about what they said. Think about what God has said. He says, when you think about that, then ask what you want. What do you want? You want to go back there? He will do it for you. You don't want to go there. You're tired. You don't like the way the secretary talks to you. In fact, now you realize the secretary is very mean. You don't want there. You want somewhere else. He will give it to you. Praise the Lord. But it says, abide in my word. And let my words abide in you. Keep remembering what Jesus has said. Even if someone says you are a fool, remember what Jesus has said. Are we together? Even if someone says you're not good enough, remember what Jesus has said. He said, at that point, don't forget. Don't forget. Let his words abide in you. And then he says, ask now. Because you see, when his word abides in you, either he was lying when he said it, or it was true. Are we together? They did not choose you, but God says you're a chosen generation, accepted in the beloved. The world is yours. The world is yours. Company in the world rejected you. Are we together? So either he's lying or he's saying the truth. So what do? You remind him of what he said. You bring it. And then he says, then what do you want? You want to go back there? He says, yes. Go. Are we together? But then you don't focus on what the bad. There's people who all their life they focus on all the bad things people have been saying unto the Bible says, whatsoever things are true. If it's not true, throw it away. But don't catch yourself thinking, you said you're not good enough. We don't want people that are from this tribe. And then you just conclude. They've said it in 3 places. We don't want people that are from Akwa Ibom. 3 places, they say this Lagos, they are very tribalistic. I will not get a job. No. The world is yours. Are we together? You are highly favored. If it's true, that means your tribe doesn't matter. There's another tribe that you belong to. That is the most important. So they rejected you in 3 places. Acquired, but you don't say, they say, the only job I can give you is cleaner. You say, that's the only job. You start telling your people at home, don't come to Lagos, so it's a lie. Don't come to Lagos. It's the only cleaner job you will do. No. Don't let their words abide in you. Don't give their words the power to influence your future. Focus on what God's word has said. Yes. Maybe you don't want to go there again. There's a bigger job there. Are we together? There's a bigger job waiting for you. But it matters how you deal with rejection. Rejection will come, but you must be strong. Are we together? And focus on what you want. Go ahead and talk to the Lord and speak in other tongues. maybe it's too late for you to go to school. And they said, it's only people that have certificate that gets this job. And you feel rejected. When God was talking about you being favored, he didn't mention certificates. He didn't mention all those things. So focus on what God has said. He says, you will bring forth much fruit. You would have results in life. When people try to kill your results, kill your dream, he says, don't focus on what they are saying. Focus on what he has said. That whatever you want to fulfill that dream, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Ligo sukabrade sharabaka sakarada. Rabaka sukabrade sekede shukarabaya. Leko sukabradashka. Beginning to remind yourself, I'm chosen. I'm God's choice. I'm the first and the best. Accepted in the beloved. Nothing is too good for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Nothing is too good for me. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He makes me lie down. Hallelujah. He prepares a table before me. Leko sukabrade saramaka sigadosha. Leko sukabrakasigados. Lekredeshka, stand up on your feet.